Hey, what's good? Welcome to Conversationalist Corner, a podcast that explores the world of conversation. My name is Paul Larson, and I'm here with my co-host, Jacob White. Super excited to have you here, and we hope that as you listen in today, that you learn the things that enable you to have the best conversations anytime, anyplace, and with anybody.
Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of the Conversationalist Corner. We are so happy to be back with you guys this week. We all hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving with your family.
And let's get ready for that Christmas season.
Yeah, Christmas is in full swing.
If you're watching the YouTube, you've noticed that we have switched out the tree for a fire.
Yeah.
Now, for everyone who's not watching, just listening to it, we used to have a little tree prop that we would have sitting between me and Jacob. It was very pretty. Some fall colors, but now that it is no longer fall, it is now winter, we have a crackling fire sitting behind us on the TV. It's not actually a real fire.
Yeah, it's great.
Jacob, how was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving, Paul, was wonderful. Natalie and I took the trip out to Colorado, so we spent our Thanksgiving break with her family, which was an experience. It was really fun. Obviously, first year being married, there's a lot of new experiences that you get, and so One of those is not having Thanksgiving with your family.
Yeah,
you have it with your new family, which was great. It was really fun. I had an opportunity to get to know my brother-in-law and sister-in-law better and spend more time with. I guess I'm an uncle now, so that was weird.
That is weird.
Because like I have nieces and nephews, and so there's only two of them. There's one girl, one boy.
That is weird.
And so I spent a lot of time, and there's 3 years old and 6 years old. So always I spent nice. A lot of time with a 3-year-old boy, 6-year-old boy. We went on a couple walks, hung out, we'd play. We played soccer quite a bit. We played Smash Bros. On the Switch. It was pretty fun.
Uncle Jake coming in.
Dang. So that was, I don't know, the highlight of my Thanksgiving. I think it was just fun to be out there in Colorado and spend time with my in-laws.
Dang, super cool.
What about you, Paul?
My Thanksgiving was also super good. Maddie and I, we went out to California.
Oh, wow. Quite the drive.
We split it up on the way there and the way back, both ways. We stopped in St. George.
Oh, perfect.
So we never drove more than like 5 hours a day.
Really?
So on the way back, the final leg from St. George to here, which is usually like a 3.5-hour drive,
Took
us 5 hours because of traffic and snow.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was snowy.
Yeah, it was snowy.
I guess it did snow in Provo. It was pretty. That day, so yeah.
And it was really bad down like south of Beaver.
Yeah.
So we were sliding around a little bit, driving pretty slow.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it was really good. California was super warm. No snow. Super fun to go visit my family. We visited not my immediate family, but my mom's family. So my cousins, aunts and uncles, and my grandma on that side.
That's cool.
And super fun. I just love my family so much. They're so cool. And it's funny because I just don't get to see them very often.
Yeah.
That like my younger cousins have grown up.
Like they're not kids anymore.
So much.
You're like, oh, so much. Wow.
Yeah, I have two cousins that are about to leave on missions that are still very young in my mind.
Yeah.
I have, like, the youngest ones, they're, like, they have personalities now. Like, they can talk. They can interact. The family that we had Thanksgiving with, their youngest was just being the sweetest, and he was always making sure me and Maddie were comfortable. He would come up to me and was like, can I get you anything to drink? I honestly don't even know what his exact age is. I can't.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's probably like 8.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I feel bad. I don't know people's exact ages, but
that's fun.
It was a lot of fun. And for Maddie to meet everyone was super cool. We went to the beach. We went to the swap meet.
Oh, nice.
All good things.
Cool. That sounds like a blast.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? I guess that was like over a week ago now, Thanksgiving. You've been home back in school for the last week or so. Any highlights of the last week?
No, but I promised I would share my Apple Wrapped.
Okay.
Our music playlist. I share a music app with my family, and I totally hijacked it this year.
You are the predominant.
Yeah, I am the predominant listener. All right. I'm going to see if you can guess.
Oh, you already told me you're tough.
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
Actually, you're going to be surprised at where
No way.
He falls.
He.
Yeah. Okay. So guess my first top artist.
I have no clue.
It's Camp.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good top one. I love Camp.
2,259 minutes.
Dang, that's a lot. That's a lot.
And then in second place comes Noah Kahan, which makes sense. I listen to him a decent amount. I know my family listens to him a decent amount.
Yeah.
Next, out of nowhere, Taylor Swift. That is not me.
That's not you.
That is not me.
That's definitely
at all.
Not Paul. Who do you think it is? What's your guess?
Well, my sister sent me the screenshot of the Music Wrapped, and she was like, I promise I'm not a Swiftie. I just have playlists that have lots of Taylor Swift songs on it that I listen to when I work out.
Okay.
I was like, okay, so you're a Swiftie, but when you work out. Anyway, she didn't like that. But
okay, so it was your sister.
So yeah, and then Bad Bunny takes fourth.
Fourth place.
But he has 1,000 minutes listening.
That's still quite a bit.
That's still a lot, right? Yeah. He's my Yabe. Like, we're close. Me and Benito. And then coming in at fifth is David Kushner.
Okay.
I don't listen to him at all. I think that's purely my youngest brother. Like, what? I couldn't name a single David Kushner song for
him. Yeah, I don't even know who that is.
Actually, I think I might be able to name one, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. So I guess I can't. But... yeah, it was, and then so I guess I didn't actually hijack it, because then, like, also looking at like the top albums by month, the only ones that were my albums were January, which was Debí Tirar Más Fotos,
yeah,
and then July was Lavender Days by Camp.
So great album.
Everybody else was, I guess, just mobbing on the music apps, but I got the first place with my top artist.
That's
so
awesome. That's awesome.
That's what matters. How about you, Jacob? What was your...
So
you don't have to share it if it makes you feel bad, but...
No, it's okay. It's okay. So here's... I'll just lay it out. So in the last year, I have used three different music accounts. Four. I've used four.
He's an Amazon Music boy.
So my family has an Amazon Music, and so I would use that sometimes if they weren't using it. And I haven't even seen the replay for that, the Wrapped. And then I got my own Spotify, but it's with ads, so I didn't listen to it that much. And then I finally got a free trial for Spotify, so I had premium for like 3 months, and so I listened to it for a little bit. And then I got my own Amazon account, so...
all over the place.
All over the place. What I really wish I could share with you guys is my podcast... Apple Podcast Wrapped. I wish they did it. They don't do a year in review podcasts.
They should do that.
They really should. I went and looked
at Spotify for podcasts. I can't remember.
I've never used Spotify really for podcasts.
Do you use Apple Podcasts?
Yeah, I use Apple Podcasts. Okay. So I've probably spent so many hours, so many minutes.
Oh my goodness.
I'm really curious, like, because over the summer, like, most days was like 7+ hours. Of just straight podcasts.
That's kind of weird, man.
Yeah, I mean, how many minutes is that in one day?
Too many.
Seven. I don't want to do math on the internet. That's like almost 420 minutes in one day. If you listen to 7 hours of podcast for, there's 60 minutes. Okay, right. And that's just one day.
That's a lot.
I listened to a lot of minutes of podcasts, but I could already tell you what my most listened to podcast was. But my Wrapped is pretty, honestly, a little bit embarrassing from Spotify. Like I said, I've been using Spotify a little bit. So I only have 11,000 minutes listened, which that's a decent amount, but it's really not that many.
It's 2 days worth of podcasts.
Yeah. No, not quite.
Three.
But somehow, in some terrible fashion, my top artist is Harry Styles. And I don't know how this happened, guys. I'd like to just say, yeah, no, I have nothing to say for myself. I don't know how he got on there. He snuck in.
That's funny.
But then I had Bad Bunny, Noah Kahan, Backseat Lovers, and then the Beatles, which I don't really remember going through a Beatles kick this year, but I probably did. It happens every year.
Yeah.
So.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Top song was Maple Syrup by the Backseat Lovers. It's a great song.
I'll have to listen to that. Not an ad for them, by the way.
No, not an ad. I wish. That would be great.
All right, Jacob. Well, enough about everyone else's things that they produce.
Yeah.
How about our show?
Yeah.
Why don't we jump into things? What are we talking about today?
Today, following along with the theme for this season of peacemaking, we're going to be discussing, Paul, about peacemaking within religious differences and understanding and having conversations about religion. So that's kind of what we wanted to focus on today, Paul and I. And so we hope that you are hopefully open to listening to this, and Paul and I have some good ideas. So Paul, why don't you start us off with an experience that you've had maybe, or just maybe something that has kind of formed your understanding or your kind of framework around being able to have peaceful conversations across religious differences.
All right. Well, this is a something that's really important to me, and it's something that's always been a part of my life. So do you mind if I kind of share like the three phases that I've gone through?
Yeah, go ahead.
Throughout my life. So for context, everyone, me and Jacob, if you aren't aware already, we're members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, colloquially known sometimes as Mormons, but we prefer to use the full name to avoid confusion.
Yeah.
About whether or not we're Christians. But anyways, so we're both members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, right? I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, which, for those of you who don't know, is a very religious town. At least it was whenever I was growing up. I haven't lived there for a couple of years, so maybe it's changed, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
The majority of the people there are Catholic. So at one point in St. Louis history, there was like hundreds of Catholic high schools.
Wow.
Like, it's everywhere. They have two cathedral basilicas, which is a cathedral that the Pope has visited. Mm-hmm. So we have two of those.
That's huge. Especially St. Louis isn't huge. Like, it's not like, it's a big city. But
yeah, what are you talking about?
It's a big city, but
it is a big city.
Compared to other...
It has the population of Utah in its area.
Compared to other big cities in the U.S.
You know what? I am trying to be a peacemaker, Jacob, and you are not making it easy. Do not come out of my hometown. Go Cards.
Some of these Midwest people, they're too proud of their hometown. I was talking to someone about this.
I am just very proud to be from St. Louis. And one of the reasons is because of the religious environment that exists there.
Uh-huh.
So, like I said, everyone there is pretty religious. Not like, there's different ranges of religion, right? There's super religious. There's the dudes that I went to high school with that their plan is to become a priest, and to work their way up the Catholic Church. There are people that are becoming evangelical pastors. There are people that, you know, there's people that only go to church on Easter and Sunday, right? We got the whole range, but everybody was plugged into religion in some form, whether they were Lutheran, Baptist, Catholic, Muslim, Jewish. Like, I had a Jewish friend back in high school, super faithful dude.
Yeah. Right?
Everyone was very much plugged into religion, and they were very vocal about it.
That's interesting.
Very interesting, right?
Yeah.
And so I grew up talking about church with everyone, right? And it was very interesting to me where, for me, St. Louis was a peaceful environment.
Mm-hmm.
It was already proactively a peacemaking place. Not to say that there weren't problems, right? When we got into high school, there were some people that made some really stupid comments about different religions, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was some really mean things. You know, there were their moments that were really unfortunate and problematic. But for a whole, religion was never something that was hidden. It was never something that we were scared to talk about. We talked about it. When you ask someone, you know, what did you do like this weekend? Oftentimes they'd be like, oh, I went to church, right?
Yeah.
Or what, in like middle school, it was like, oh, like I've got PCR this evening, which is like a Catholic Sunday school type scripture reading class that they have in the evenings on weekdays, right? Or they're getting ready for their confirmation or whatever it is, right? I'm using a lot of Catholic examples because, like I said, most people there are Catholic.
Yeah.
But people just talked about it always. And so I grew up in an environment where it was very easy to talk about it. I grew up, like, being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, not a lot of people knew what that meant.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of questions, but I never caught flack for my religion once.
That's interesting.
Even though I have very different standards from my best friends in high school. I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't sleep around, like... And it was all due to my religion.
Mm-hmm.
And people were totally chill with that. They were like, you know what? Like, I love that for you. I really respect that.
Yeah.
And I'd talk about, I had so many religious conversations with people. And it was such a big part of my high school experience. Another one thing that I want to point out about my high school experience is I was a part of a regional choir that was sponsored by our church. And every year we did an interfaith concert.
Yeah.
Where we would go to one of the most prestigious concert halls in St. Louis, and we would sing with the Baptist choir, with, you know, the Sikh singers, mm-hmm. with all these different people from different faith backgrounds. And it was a beautiful experience and really taught me the beauty that exists within other religions. Now, fast forward to post high school, I become a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for 2 years.
Yeah.
What do you do as a missionary, Jacob?
You go around and you share what you believe with other people in an attempt to help them understand what you believe. And eventually, hopefully, if that is something that they desire to learn more about, they'll learn, you'll teach them more. And then eventually, if they like to, they can be baptized into our church.
Yeah, exactly. You're teaching people about our religion, uh-huh. right? In a hopes, well, the missionary purpose, and the church has done a great job at this, is to invite people to come unto Christ.
Yeah.
Or essentially to help them come closer to God. Hopefully, you know, Christian God, but honestly, whatever God mm-hmm. that they worship or they believe in. But it's really easy as a missionary to get caught in this idea of my church is the true church, because we all believe we're in the true church, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, the Catholics believe their church is true, the Buddhists, that's the church, sure. But they believe that their ideology is true, right?
Uh-huh.
We have...
No one's going to a church believing it's wrong.
Right, and if they do, they probably have a cool explanation of why they do it. But as a rule of thumb, people usually believe in their church, right?
Uh-huh.
So I am suddenly not in St. Louis anymore, and I'm teaching people about my religion uh-huh. on a daily basis. And not in the same way that I was in high school, where it was more lifestyle, talking about lifestyles, but uh-huh. more talking about doctrine, right? And it kind of became, in some ways, trying to prove to people that my church was the true church.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I did a really good job as a missionary to be a great listener. I'd always listened, right?
Yeah.
I always wanted to know what people's religious background was. I was always curious how they maintain their spiritual life. I did so many things that I feel like were because I came from St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the day, I feel like a lot of my mission was spent trying to show people the truth that is in our church, which is not a bad thing, right?
Yeah.
But there were some times that I feel like I maybe went a little bit on the extreme side, and I was like, my church is the only true church, right? Which is something that doctrinally we believe, right? Just uh-huh. like every other church, that our church has all the truth. And I did this because, one, that was kind of my purpose, but two, there's so many different truths in yeah. our church that are so important to me. One being eternal families.
Yeah.
I love the idea of being with my family for forever. And so I spent a lot of my mission trying to teach people that, but sometimes it became, well, you should join my church because we have all these things, and it sounds like your church doesn't really have those promises.
It's a negative view on what they already believe instead of trying
right.
to
without,
affirm what they believe and then maybe offer more.
Exactly. Without... You know, and like I said, I was a great missionary, and I think that I'm being a little hard on myself in retrospect just
yeah.
because I do that.
Yeah.
It's just kind of how I'm built. But like, in all honesty, like, yeah, no, I definitely went about it as if our church was the truth, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think that's necessarily wrong,
mm-hmm.
but it just was not maybe... I don't know. Like, I don't think it was the most beneficial for everyone. It helped me, you know, really study my own religion, and I got really good at the scriptures and whatnot.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where I was at on my mission. And then fast forward 2 years, I come home and I'm talking to my dad, and I don't know. I made an off comment. Like, this is like my first week back from a mission.
Yeah. And for those of you who haven't ever interacted with someone who's come home from a mission like this, there's a bit of an adjustment period. Where you're trying,
you're weird.
You're
man.
Really weird because you're trying. You've been in this mode for 2 years, where all you do is talk about God and try and do what Paul's been explaining, and now you have to
adjust
back to regular life, where that's not what you're doing anymore.
Right. But I'm having a spiritual conversation with my dad uh-huh. because that's what we do in my family. We have a lot of those types of conversations, and I made some off comment about our church being the only true church, right?
Yeah.
And I remember nothing of the context. I don't know what we were talking about, And my dad just looks at me and he goes, oh, so the other churches aren't true? And I was like, dang. Like,
yeah.
It hit me very hard. And I'm going to say that it was God smacking me up the side of the head through my dad and being like, oh, so the other churches aren't true? Right?
Yeah.
Because what I did as a missionary is I was teaching that my church is true, right?
Yeah.
Believe you that my church has all these truths. But what it became is essentially, because I was not focusing on other religions and learning about them, mm-hmm. it became essentially, like indirectly, I would say, oh, the other churches aren't true, right? Uh-huh. Not at all my intention, not at all what I wanted to do, but that's kind of how it became,
yeah. right?
Because I was only teaching, preaching, talking about my church. Mm-hmm. It probably looked like to everyone else that like, I didn't believe that there was any truth in their church, right?
Yeah. I think that's a really good way to say it.
That it was not at all intentional, but that was kind of a byproduct.
Yeah.
Is that was kind of probably the vibe that I was giving.
Uh-huh.
But my dad said that to me and I was like, dang, right?
Uh-huh.
I was like, and I responded and I was like, no, like there are, like the other churches are true,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe they don't have the same things that my church has, but if that church is bringing people closer to whatever God, uh-huh. whatever divinity that they believe in, and in making them better people, that's true, right?
Yeah.
And my truth is in my church.
Uh-huh.
But other people's truths are in their churches. And that is so important to understand. And then about the same time, I picked up a book called How to Think Like a Monk by Jay Shetty. He's a wonderful podcaster, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And I read it, and it was maybe the like top one, like most life-changing books I've ever read. Mm. It's kind of like an autobiography of Jay Shetty, and he writes about his experience being super successful in his education and whatnot, and then just dropping it all and becoming a monk. And he becomes a monk. He has this wonderful experience. And then eventually he realizes, you know, being a monk is great, but I actually need to share these truths with the world. I found my truth
yeah.
in the monk culture experience. I think he was Hindu. And he was like, you know what? Like, I have found my truths in Hinduism and Buddhism and whatnot. And like he was living in this, they call it an ashram, like this place where he was removed from the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and he became so spiritual. But then he was like, I need to actually share this with the world. I can't just live the rest of my life as a monk. It'd be great, but that's not what my purpose is.
Yeah.
So he wrote this book afterwards to kind of share his experience and share how we can apply the principles that the monks apply in our daily lives. And there's so many different principles that I read and understood. And I was like, wow, I need that in my spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
I need meditation. I need mantras. I need these different, you know, I need this viewpoint in my life. And that's when I first really began to have a love for Buddhism, right? And Buddhism, I don't know, some people say it's religion, some people say it's an ideology. It just kind of depends on what you define each as.
Mm-hmm.
But Buddhism has some great practices. And like I said, the first one that has since that point become a daily part of my spirituality is meditation, right? In our church, we pray. And we pray, you know, dear Heavenly Father, blah, 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 in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very much conversational.
Yep.
But in meditation, it's more about clearing your mind, right, and just experiencing things,
uh-huh.
letting things flow, right, and being present. And in doing that, and practicing breathing and practicing guided meditations that some of the Buddhist teachers have, I really felt God in my life at a different, with like a different flavor, like with a different light that was super duper powerful to me. And that was kind of the entry point into like my exploration of other religions. And since that point, I have really come to appreciate more and more all the religions that are different than mine. Another kind of example of this is the Catholic Church, right? There's a lot of, I don't know, I felt like on my mission, I heard a lot of sad things about the Catholic Church that people were saying. Missionaries, I feel like a lot of missionaries from our church like to kind of call out the Catholic Church for the way that it's been run for the past 2,000 years, right?
Yeah.
And I had kind of become desensitized to that. And that's really, really bad. That's not a peacekeeper thing.
Yeah.
Right? And I love the Catholic Church. Like I said, growing up, all my friends were Catholic. Great religion. Learned so much. They were all super faithful, God-fearing people. And now after my mission, I appreciate the Catholic Church for all it does. There's a lot of things that I'm currently, you know, I really work hard to be kind of an activist, and I really, there's certain things that are really important to me, one of them being immigration, and the Catholic Church is a godsend whenever it comes to immigration issues. They do so much good in helping marginalized communities. Not that our own church doesn't, but the Catholic Church does it in different ways that I really love and appreciate. I have learned so much from the prayers that they offer. I think that it's so cool. The Methodist Church, another example. I love the way that they've set up their church and the equality that you can find in it. There's so many different things from different churches that I have come to love and learn, and it has been a process, but by being interested in and kind of just at first recognizing that there are truths to be found in the other churches and then seeking them out, that has been my key to becoming a religious peacekeeper or peacemaker.
Mm. That's great. That's a really awesome story you share there, Paul, about how you kind of gone through and coming to appreciate and value the different ideologies and things you can learn from different religions. Because I think I've had maybe not a similar experience, but I've come to a similar conclusion, I guess. Yeah. Very different path. I won't go too in depth, but I mean, I grew up in a home where we valued our religion, just similar to you, Paul, where we were very devout in our own faith. And I think that something that I've recognized is, and the way I've become, as I've become more faithful, I guess, in my own faith, I have seen my appreciation and respect for people who practice their religion devoutly grow.
Yeah.
I think there's power to being able to commit yourself to a religion and to live it.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've come to really respect and appreciate. In my high school growing up, there was a lot of people, and just even from elementary school till I was in high school, there's a lot of people who are Muslim in my grade, and just in the area where I live, there's a lot of Muslim people, and I've always had great respect. I didn't know much as a kid about the Muslim faith. I knew that they had very specific practices that I didn't learn about until later, but I understood, because a lot of the girls my age would wear hijabs and they would dress a certain way. And it wasn't something I realized until later in high school that they had a very devout kind of way of life. And there was a mosque, I think 2 miles from my house or so.
Yeah.
And there was a day that someone with ill intent went and burned it.
Wow.
Lit it on fire, and still to that was I think 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
And they just haven't been able to rebuild it since.
Wow.
And it's been really sad to see that their religion and the way that they worship and the way that they worship is so communal.
Yeah.
Like every time they would get together, you knew there was a big event happening at their church, because you would see how many people were at the church, how many cars were there.
Yeah.
And it was really sad to see that someone would do that. And I know there's been efforts to help them find new places of worship, because it was such a terrible thing that happened to them. And so I think the main basis for my religious peacemaking and understanding that I don't need to go around changing everyone's beliefs, but just go around and find mutual respect for other people is as I've come to know and live my own faith in a more devout way. I think that's really helped me. And just having open conversations. I know I've talked about my friend Eric before, but I think it's worth saying that it's been probably the best blessing I've had to have this friend Eric, just to have open and respectful conversations. Although we do have differences in our faith, it's been so awesome to talk to him about his relationship with God and understand where he's coming from. And we have very similar beliefs. At the end of the day, we both love our Jesus Christ and we both worship him and value him as a very important piece of our life. And I think that is something that we often fail to do in religious conversations. You see so much, at least I do.
Right.
I see so much negative discourse on the internet
over
religion, and it makes me really sad.
And going back to kind of what I was talking about is, I think what we are kind of coming to a conclusion here right now, or not like, not wrapping up, but one of the conclusions that I think that we've reached is being a religious peacekeeper, peacemaker does not mean I am only going to protect and fight for my religion.
Exactly.
Because like you said, you and Eric have very similar beliefs. You both love your religion, right?
Uh-huh.
But if you went about your conversations with him very defensively and saying, you know what, like my church is the true church.
Yeah.
Yours is great, but it's not the true church, Eric.
Yeah.
You know, then that would not be productive. No. That would not be spiritual. That would not.
No, it would.
God would not like that. Whatever God you believe in, He would not like that.
Yeah.
And so I think that is kind of what it sounds like we're hearing is that being a religious peacekeeper, peacemaker means not just watching out for your own back, but watching out for the back of others and learning and becoming an ally or an admirer of whatever religion the people around you practice. And that actually, I took an amazing religion class here at BYU with Professor Andrew Reed, and I would have loved to have him here on the podcast, but he's a busy man. Maybe we'll get him one day.
Yeah.
But he teaches world religion here at BYU, and he is the exemplar of a religious peacekeeper. He'd come to class and he'd be like, yeah, you know, I was having lunch with, you know, Rabbi so-and-so, or, you know, I was out with the Baptist preachers out in California the other day, and he just was always talking to people and always being around other people. And that, I think, is one of the first things, right?
Yeah.
Make friends with the people of different religions. Do not at all, like, stick to your own group.
Yeah, I think that
things get weird when you do that.
Just being open to people of a different faith is just, it's one of the biggest blessings, like I've said, in my life. Because it's, not only is it just good to get out of your own little circle, but
they're wonderful people.
They're wonderful people. They're good people because they have a deep framework in their...
They're our friends. Yeah. They're our family. They're not an other. It's very easy to think of them as others in a religious context, but they're not. Think of them as part of your circle, right?
And they're your brothers and sisters at the end of the day.
Right? And, I just had a thought leave my head.
You're talking about your professor.
We're talking about professor, making friends.
So maybe this will lead you back to it, but what are some principles maybe you learned from him?
So I think that the first of all, being friends, right?
Yeah.
Just being like, you know what? I want to be friends with everyone.
Yeah.
Obviously is a great start to being a key peacekeeper, making friends, making people happy. But then actually going, what he taught us was religious envy. And I really love this idea. And I think that if you are going to be a true maker, a peacemaker, proactively making peace, you have to practice religious envy.
Uh-huh.
Now, what is that, might you ask? That is when you learn about, you study, you observe, you notice something about someone or a religion, and you're like, dang, that's freaking awesome.
Uh-huh.
I love that. Like you talked about, like, you know, the devotion or the community aspect of the Muslim worshipers, right? For me, it's, you know, the Buddhist meditations or the Catholic masses, right? Like, I am, and all of those things. I think they're awesome. I envy them. I want that to be a part of myself, that to be a part of my religion. And so whenever you practice religious envy, you become a fan. You become an admirer, like I mentioned earlier. And what does that look like? That looks like learning, right? Mm-hmm. I've gotten the chance to read several different religious texts from different religions. Totally has made me a better believer, mm-hmm. right? Has totally strengthened my faith in my own religion.
Yeah.
But also it has helped me understand people better. It has given me something to talk about. I think that another aspect of peacemaking is communication, right? So you have to make friends with people, but then you have to talk to them. And a great way to do that is if you're already practicing religious envy. Uh-huh. It's so easy to talk to someone, you know, and let's say like they're Jewish, right? Uh-huh. And let's say you've got a Jewish friend and you want to talk to them. Well, you can be like, you know what? Like, can you tell me a little bit about what covenants mean to you? Because for Jewish people, covenants are a big thing. They have physical symbols that they use for covenants in their marriages and the circumcisions and all of these different things, right? And so you can talk to him, right? And be like, you know what? Like, I really want to become a better covenant keeper. How do you do it, right?
Yeah.
Like, tell me. You coming from, like, the Jewish community. Like, let's talk, right? I want to learn from you and be hungry and be so interested.
I think that principle is, like, seeking to understand them and, like, why they do what they do. And because then not only will you understand their religion better, but you'll understand them better as a person.
Totally. Right. And it's not to understand them as an other.
Yeah.
It's to understand them as like to just be an admirer.
It's just like you would ask, just like we talked about it when getting to know someone better or how to be a better friend, like asking interesting questions.
Right.
It's the same thing with these people, but maybe more in a religious way.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like what has... Like we talked about my little story of becoming, you know, from the religious environment being created for me in St. Louis, for me kind of messing up that vibe while I was in St. Louis and then having to relearn that. Uh-huh. I think that the biggest thing that has helped me become what I believe is a peacemaker is an admirer, right? And I think that at the end of the day, if you are an admirer, you are going to be able to make peace in religious context, in religious environments. Why? Because obviously, you're going to stand up for yourself, but you're going to stand up for others, right?
Yeah.
If you hear someone slandering a religion, not even talking about religions, if someone, you know, like I admire Jacob. If someone comes and starts trash talking Jacob, we're throwing hands. No, just kidding, we're not throwing hands. But I am going to address that, right? And I am going to let him know that is not okay.
Yeah.
Right? That you can't be talking that way about my boy. And the same thing goes with religion, right? If I truly admire something, I'm not going to take, you know, I am not going to accept stupid jokes, right? I'm not going to accept any sort of insults towards these people that I love and I admire.
Yeah.
And so I think that ultimately, you know, you can use the peacemaking techniques that we talked about very much in like our second episode of this podcast and our other podcasts for kind of more specific techniques, but for you to be able to do that, that internal desire and that identity that you carry as an admirer has to be in place.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like with religion and understanding and being a true peacemaker, it just comes down to making connection.
Totally.
And not seeing it as something different from yourself or something that is an obstacle to your religion. Because at the end of the day, the more people who are faithfully living their religion, and they're going to do the same thing for you. If you want to practice your religion, you have to be able to be okay with giving other people that same ability. It reminds me in our faith of the 11th article of faith, we believe that we can worship how, where, or what we may. And so we have to give that same benefit to other people. We have to allow people.
We're not just passively permitting them though.
No,
we are fighting for that.
That's the thing is like, as we, if we want to live in worship, we have to be fighting for other people to have the same right. And if we are not giving them that right, but allowing ourselves to have it, we're being hypocrites.
Yeah.
And I think the number one thing in just like in these conversations, like you said, it's just being a friend, being curious, being envious of things that they do that have brought them closer to their spirituality, and then maybe trying to figure out how you can implement it in your own life.
Yeah.
And I think that is honestly going to do wonders for your relationship with your own faith and your relationship with people of that faith and your friends of that faith.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess that's kind of my final thoughts. Do you have any other final thoughts you'd like to add, Paul?
Well, I think I'll just end with an action item.
Yeah.
For both of us and for you as a listener. Identify someone in your life that has different faith beliefs than you or practices, mm-hmm. right? And find something that you admire about it.
Mm-hmm.
Find something to be envious about. And then go talk to them about it.
Yeah.
And it could be someone that you're already close with, or it could be someone that you barely know.
Uh-huh.
Because with either individual, you are going to strengthen your relationship with them. And I want to just take a moment, and I just want to share from the bottom of my heart that if every single person in the world did this, we could solve so many problems.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that religion is such a powerful thing. It's something that is just, I believe religion's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's a hot take. I think religion is beneficial for everyone.
Yeah.
And so I think that if you can do that, you will not only boost your own faith, you're going to boost the faith of the other person, and you're going to boost your relationship with them. And so it just doesn't get better than that.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's a great action item. That's something I'm going to do this week. Just kind of as a way to build my own faith and also better understand those that I love. So yeah, that's all we have for you this week. Go out, and we hope that you're able to do that. Just like Paul shared, to go out and find someone that you love or someone new to meet and just find something you love about the way that they worship and then the way that they practice their religion. And like Paul said, it will bless you a lot. And so thank you so much for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Peace.